Sturgeon's Law, number 86. Extra news, idle rants, and pod-safe music.
90% of everything.
He gave her his kidney. She gave him her heart. Transplants and romance when Sick Sad World continues.
Is crud.
You're listening to Sturgeon's Law, the podcast that keeps you up to date on the 10% of everything that isn't crud. Check out the show notes at www.sturgeonslaw.com, and you can find the music used in this show at the Podsafe Music Network and magnatune.com. Now here's your host, Random.
Okay, we're getting a double heaping of news, and later in the show we'll have two voicemails from the same person, a good sign that it's more than time to get a show put together. Double one section, try out a new one, let simmer for a few weeks while you've got the plague, and serve right after this message. Tired of feeling wired? If you're stuck at one machine trying to shake loose some podcasts, you're missing most of the fun. With PodcastReady.com, you can get to your subscriptions anywhere you can run a web browser, then download the MyPodder software and download your new shows anywhere you can plug in your portable player. Exchange favorite shows and favorite episodes with your friends and never complain about having nothing to listen to or watch again. PodcastReady.com, cooler than an iPhone and $600 cheaper. So, as I say, I decided for a double helping of news items this time, as stuff has piled up in my handy-dandy Google notebook. If you by some strange chance follow my tumble log at sturgeonslaw.tumblr.com, you may well have seen a few of these. For example, a video of a wacky little folk song performed by Sweet Afton 23, aka Molly the Eucharist, on YouTube, accompanying herself on, of course, ukulele. It's called My Hope, and it has a hilarious and timely message about social networking sites that, well, you're just going to have to experience it for yourself, but rest assured you will laugh and hopefully also be a little impressed by her musical chops. And seriously, you'll never look at your MySpace page quite the same again. Link is in the show notes. Some more fun and free entertainment can occasionally be had in the form of fanfic. Now, here I am distinguishing free and unofficial fanfic from licensed novels and the like. The former can obviously be quite a mixed bag, well, so can the latter, but I digress. It's certainly true that some published authors come out of fanfic. But have you ever heard of one going the other direction? What if it were a popular and well-established fantasy author, with many books currently in print, writing an entirely free Firefly fanfic novel? That's exactly what Taltosh and Phoenix Guards author Stephen Brust has done with his new Firefly fan novel, My Own Kind of Freedom, released under a Creative Commons license. Hey, welcome to new media, Mr. Brust. Glad to have you. Speaking of great TV shows that were canceled in their prime, did you happen to catch any of Daybreak on ABC when it aired briefly? No? Big surprise, since they killed it after only a few episodes had aired. Particularly aggravating is that this was only meant to be 13 episodes in the first place, so why not show them? Even weirder was discovering that all 13 episodes were actually made. Bizarre. Bizarre, and yet perfect for DVD. And lo and behold, the whole 13-episode run is coming out on March 11th. So if you're interested in action, adventure, strange time loops a la Groundhog Day, and or Taye Diggs, fire up your Netflix queue, edit your Amazon wish list, haunt your local video store, do what it takes to get this show in front of you, and see what ABC just couldn't be bothered to show you. Now, you're going to have to wait quite a bit longer for this next item to show up in stores, but it sure seems like the very, very long wait may just hopefully be worth it. That's Spore, the next big thing from Sims Mastermind Will Wright, in which you start with a cellular-level organism, work your way up to land creatures, sentient tribes, civilization, space travel, go to other planets, see other people's creatures, and possibly do crazy things to them. Rather than a multiplayer online game, it's allegedly a single-player game with an online element where the creations of each player leak through into the universes of others, or something like that. Anyway, the buzz has been huge about this one, except that it keeps getting diluted through, as I say, these enormous waits. Finally, EA has given a release date at the end of a new trailer for the game. Link is in the show notes again, and let me spoiler that, September 3rd this year. There you go. One more way you can buy things appears to be pullboxonline.com. Now I say appears because I haven't used the place myself, which is why this is a news entry, not a top 10% or a big idea. So, just be aware of that. Anyway, the point is that you can avoid shelling out the big bucks for paper copies of comic books and buy them online here for typically 99 cents. Now, you're not going to get your Marvel or DC titles here, but there's a bunch of indie publishers getting on board, it looks like, so who knows what gems you might be able to get high-quality downloads of legally at Pullbox Online. If you've used it, or if you use it after hearing this, give us a shout and let us know what you think of it. I don't have a clever segue for this last one, so just out with it. Jenny, the creator of the site What They Don't Tell You About Diabetes, has renamed the site to Blood Sugar 101 and given it an easy new URL to remember, which is to say, bloodsugar101.com. See, I told you it was easy to remember. I first told you about this wonderful and important site back in show number 52, but now that it's easier to find and easier to share with others, I wanted to mention it again, particularly in light of all the media debate lately about diabetes, blood sugar, nutrition, and various drugs such as statins. Jenny is good about documenting her sources, so you can follow up on what you read at her site, not just take it on face value. I recommend it more now than ever.
Kickball. Zumpro. Tag. Monkey bars.
For many of us, recess was an important part of the school day, and it offered so many options.
A chance to tell a joke, sing a song, and to be with our friends outside of the classroom.
But now, with academics emphasized and budget cuts looming, recess is on the firing line.
Believe it or not, approximately 40% of schools across the USA have either eliminated or are considering eliminating recess.
Many educators think kids return from recess more exhilarated, confident, and imaginative.
Experts agree that playtime can be just as vital as classroom time to a child's social, emotional, and educational development.
So if you think it's about more than a game of hopscotch, it's time to speak up.
For more information on Rescuing Recess, go to www.pta.org.
Or rescuingrecess.com, because recess isn't just child's play.
Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
So, here I was, all warmed up to do my first random rant segment, and it was going to be about the Writers Guild of America strike. And, well, there's a military term, OBE, which means overtaken by events. And here I am, exactly that, overtaken by events, because as I'm putting this show together, the strike ends. January 13, votes done, all over for now, but the crying. And the complaining by Harlan Ellison. So, am I still going to talk about it? Yes, I am, because there are a number of things I observed during the strike, and it's all kind of piled up, and if I don't say it right now, it's going to get dated with the strike over. So, here we go. Observation 1. Many of you think that the strike demonstrated that writers are greedy and lazy, and nobody owes them anything. Now, I can't judge which writers are or are not greedy and lazy, but I will tell you this. Someone does owe them something. Proper recompense for their labor, just like anybody else. But they agreed to work for such and such money, you cry. Sure, but the fact is, nobody, perhaps as much as us, that is, us new media people, can quite grasp the fact that the playing field has changed, is changing, will change, and I promise you this, the old school production companies, the middlemen that honestly have always taken in all the money anyway, are going to try and figure out how to capitalize on new media, and they are not looking to share with the talent. And that was at the heart of this strike. But sure, I'm disappointed in the outcome. Maybe not as disappointed as Harlan, but disappointed. I wish that new businesses had risen into place ready to actually do new media, bring the actual content producers in on the deals, and make some money for everyone, and let the dinosaurs die out like dinosaurs apparently always do. The resolution of this strike is a stopgap at best, because it's evolve or die time for television, for movies, the music industry, the comics industry, for radio, you know the whole list. And most of them are saying, no, we're not changing. So that only leaves one option. So great. The television and movie industries are back on life support. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad the writers and the actors, and perhaps most especially the crews, are going to get paid and get to eat and whatever, but the day is coming when new buildings must replace the ruins of the old ones, and I hope these people make sure they're poised to move into the new buildings when they go up, because falling with the old ones will be a hard fall indeed. At this point, I want to nudge you at a blog post by a fellow I've known many years named Andrew Boardman, who has an interesting preview of those shiny new edifices, and I don't have time to draw you the same picture as he did, so just go read. Links in the show notes. Anyway, back to the rant. Here's another observation, and I bet I'm not the only person who's making it now. TV got basically shut down for months, and I discovered I didn't really care all that much. Don't get me wrong, I like video entertainment. I like it a lot. I like it when it's done by professionals, or at least some small percentage of it. But it turns out, I don't care if it's being shoved at me on a weekly basis. I've had a TiVo as long as they've been available, and it seems to me that even that's becoming less useful to me all the time, because honestly, I can wait for DVD. I can wait for Netflix. It's okay. Then I can see Heroes as quickly together as I want, and not forget what's going on from week to week. Did I mention that my cable costs as much as the Netflix plan that lets you have 6 DVDs checked out at a time? I dare you to watch that much television. No, I don't. Please, I don't want that on my conscience. My point is that perhaps the biggest impact that will be seen from this strike is the realization that broadcast media isn't really all that useful or interesting anymore. Did you catch earlier when I told you about Daybreak in the news, which got canned quick coming out on DVD in its 13-episode entirety? Why will the next show even bother with ABC? Why will I as a viewer even bother with ABC? Why will you? Will you? Let me know what you think.
Sound.
The mail's here!
Oh, great. Thanks.
So I complained last time about not getting any mail, and a few of you rose to that challenge. Very few. But longtime listeners, and a brand new one as well. Glad to hear from you all, and hopefully you'll serve as a shining example to those people who just didn't quite manage to pick up the phone or fire up Gmail. Anyway, it was mostly the DS Lite that really got the listeners fired up. First up is, you probably guessed it, Doug Rapson of Geek Acres.
Hey there, Random, it's Doug, and I just wanted to give you a shout after hearing the latest episode of Sturgeon's Law. You and I, both big fans of the Nintendo DS Lite, and you'll never guess who else is. Mickey Mouse, that's right. If you want more on that, check out Geek Acres episode number 120. Insert shameless plug here. But I've had mine since Christmas time. I love it. My son and I are both playing a lot of different games, mostly Pokemon, but there's just a lot of great wireless access, both, you know, between ourselves locally in the house, and then every now and again I can hook up with somebody online depending on the appropriate game. But big fan of the Nintendo DS Lite. Thanks for your show, and I look forward to the next episode. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Doug, and don't worry, that plug was too subtle for me to notice. We'll hear from Doug again before the show is over, but let's continue the DS thread for now. Next up is email from listener Chris, who I believe recently made his first contact with Geek Acres, speaking of which. Anyway, Chris says, something that gets overlooked a lot is that IMO, the DS is a fantastic gaming platform for the casual gamer, quote-unquote. You'll never see titles like Diner Dash or Mario Karts on the PSP. That's very true, Chris. Personally, I lie somewhere between casual and hardcore, as probably do most of us my age who eke out some gaming time, but the truth is that I love the positive vibe of many of Nintendo's games. Elite Beat Agents, while as corny as any game I've ever played, and cornier than most, makes me downright happy. And isn't that something worth asking of your gaming time? Okay, next mail is from listener Zen2, who for reasons that will become clear, I am particularly glad to hear from. Zen2 mails. Hey, love the show. I first started getting it after getting my Potter, wonderful software, especially since it doesn't require iTunes. I also thought that I would let you know that you had a factual error in your show. When you mentioned the Nintendo DS Lite, you stated that the cards can hold 2 megabytes, which is wrong. Nintendo measures all the cartridges in bits, so it actually holds 2 megabits, unless you already did the conversion. Just thought I would let you know. Well, thanks, Zen2. Pausing only to correct you that we were talking gigabits, not megabits. You're absolutely right, and I'd overlooked that fact. So, in essence, the cartridges are 256 megabytes of ROM, not 2 gigabytes as I claimed. Good catch. Now, the reason I'm particularly glad to hear from Zen2 is that, as you all know, I'm a big promoter of Podcast Ready and My Potter, as well, as the old commercial says, as being a client. I've gotten a pretty large number of subscriptions from them, to say the least, and I've wondered how many are actually out there listening to the shows. So it's great to hear from someone who found us exactly that way. Welcome aboard, Zen2 and everybody else. Capping off the mail, here's more voicemail from Doug, proving that calling my Grand Central number really does work pretty well.
Hey there, Random, it's Doug, and I just wanted to give you a call, let you know that I saw recently you had been nominated for a Podcast Peer Award, and I think that's just great. But that wasn't the only reason I wanted to call. I wanted to let you know that I have actually initiated my first trade on SwapTree. And I know you've talked about SwapTree before on the show, but if any of your listeners have a bunch of DVDs or books or CDs sitting around and they're looking for some new entertainment, they really ought to check it out because it is awesome, definitely in the top 10%. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Hope you have a good week. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Doug, first, congrats with getting going on SwapTree. I'm about 15 or 16 swaps in at this point and have no complaints, although things have kind of dried up a bit for me lately. On the other hand, it's not like I'm finding time to play the games I've gotten from there already. On the third hand, I got Elite Beat Agents via SwapTree. I traded Crisis for it, and many people would think that's a bad trade looking at the prices on Amazon or whatever. Here's an insight, though, into the economics of trade, almost enough for a rant of its own. I got something that I liked far better. I won't even go into what I didn't like about Crisis, because I don't do that. I assume the person on the other end, though, got something that they at least wanted more now. So we both profited. Wealth was created. Adam Smith smiled from wherever he is now. Good stuff. Also, thanks to Doug for pointing out to me that we're a finalist this time over at Podcast Peer Awards. We're running a fairly strong second the last time I looked in the eclectic category, and I encourage you to check out the Eclectic Review, the podcast that's still running fairly well ahead of us. It's got eclectic in the name and everything. Seriously, it seems like a show that listeners here might well want to give a try. Link will be in the show notes, as always.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
So, anyway, I got email, as did many other podcasters, I would assume, from Matthew Ebel, artist behind, for example, the very popular Drive Away that I listen to often and have at times used as closing music on this very show. He's got a new album forthcoming called Goodbye Planet Earth, and he released a track from it exclusively on the Podsafe Music Network on January 30th. So basically, here it is. This is Downtown. Future past the end, never knows.
look a mess, but baby, you better sell, or your daddy gonna raise hell. He gives you money, but honey, your daddy don't give a damn unless you got a Johnny and you go in town.
Once again, that was Downtown by Matthew Ebel off the Podsafe Music Network.
This podcast is certified fresh.
Freshmediaworks.com.
And that's a wrap. Sturgeon's Law is a random podcast and is hosted and produced by me, R. Francis Smith. Show notes are at www.sturgeonslaw.com. Email me at sturgeonslaw@gmail.com. Call my Grand Central number at 405-3344-311. That's 405-3344-311. To leave a message, and in general, stay cool, and we'll talk again soon.
This is a different thing. It's spontaneous, and it's called wit.